Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Hi, friends. Are you trying to get promoted in the clinical laboratory? Or maybe you recently received a promotion. If so, congratulations either way. This practical podcast will be absolutely what you need to make a great first impression or lasting impression as you go throughout your career. This is eLaborate Topics, and I am your host and leadership mentor, Tywana Wilson. Thank you for tuning in to this weekly podcast where we offer you practical strategies that you can use inside and outside of the laboratory. Myself, along with my co-hosts, Lona Small and Stephanie Whitehead, bring you these tips along with our amazing guests. If you would like to be a guest on this show, we would love to have you. If you caught last week's episode, we talked about pitching yourself and being able to pitch yourself for new opportunities. It could be for a new job, it could be for an award, or it could be being a guest on eLaborate Topics. And if that is you, we would love to have you and feature you. All you have to do is submit a guest interest form. At the time of this recording, we are preparing for the LabVine Laboratory Management Seasonal School 2023, where eLaborate Topics will be presenting on day two on the topic of succession planning. That workshop, which is complimentary, is on March the 30th at 8 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. So go over to my LinkedIn. I've posted about it, or you can go to LabVine and secure your spot for the upcoming Laboratory Management Seasonal School. So let's get into today's episode. As a medical laboratory professional, I understand the importance of professionalism in the workplace. Believe me, you have to be professional if you want to advance in your career, if you want to have lateral moves in your career, or really just to be respected in the workplace, you need to have professionalism. This includes using proper business etiquette when communicating with colleagues and clients and clinicians and our nurse friends and everybody else that you interact with in the hospital or your organization via email. As the world becomes increasingly digitized, email etiquette is becoming an essential skill for any successful professional. And I know you're like, Tywana, why are we talking about email? I always think it's a good reminder. And not to make any assumptions, because I've seen a lot of emails over my years, and some of those emails probably could have used exactly what I'm talking about today. Interestingly enough, a lot of people might not know this, but as I was going through my medical laboratory science, working on my degree, I also was matriculating to get another degree in drafting and design. So I was pursuing both of those degrees simultaneously. I'm a girl who loves tech. And if I was not a scientist, I wanted to be a computer engineer at the time. And so part of getting the drafting and design degree, I had to take a technical writing course. And I'll be honest with you, it was one of the best courses that I took in undergrad, and it is still paying off today of finding out how to write in a professional, technical, concise way. It allows me to be able to filter through some of the emails that I get, especially since email doesn't have tone, but it really does have tone. And so I want to cover a few of these things with you today, just either for new content or as a nice reminder so that you can go and check out how you're sending emails and see how you may be coming off to people. Because when you are trying to advance in your career, or maybe if you are or even a manager or already in a leadership position, the way you communicate in written communication is just as valuable, or if not more valuable, as if you are communicating with somebody verbally. If you are outside of your organization, one pro tip will be to use a professional email address. So if you are trying to get another job opportunity that might be outside of your organization, or you are communicating using your personal email, make sure that email is a professional email address that includes your name is best practice. Avoid using nicknames, informal names, or numbers, or anything that could be misconstrued as negative or not professional. That could be something like the cooking lady at gmail.com. And while it may appear harmful, when you are trying to get a professional job, then you want your email to be tied back to who you are. And that could be your name. Like my email is Tywana.Wilson@such-and-such, or I might have Tywana@, whatever is my email address, or at Yahoo, or whatever the case may be. So you want to keep your email, especially if you're sending out resumes, if you're sending out proposals, if you're sending out scholarship applications, or any kind of professional correspondence in which you could be sending from your personal email, you want to make sure that you have a personal email. I know when I first started out in college and email became a thing at that time, my freshman year of college, that's when email really became a thing. Then I had my favorite cartoon character as my email. Right. And so that was something that I had. I didn't know about professional emails at that time. The email was pretty new. And so now I have created other emails, professional emails, when I am corresponding. So if you are out there and you are communicating with people, make sure that your email is reflective of the impression that you want to make. The second pro tip when you are communicating, and I'm talking about using business email etiquette, is using a professional greeting or using a greeting. Start off your email with a polite and professional greeting. Hello, hi, good morning, good afternoon, dear such and such. All of those are examples of a professional greeting. I've gotten many emails where the person just start typing their requests or their response. And while you can do that, if you are wanting to make an impression, it's always good to have that greeting. Hi, such and such. Good morning, such and such. Dear such and such. That's a great way to make an impression. Because again, as you listen to this podcast, our goal and hope for you is that you are able to assume the highest level of authority in which you desire, whatever that might be, whether that's manager, whether that's team leader, whether that's being a laboratory advocate, whatever it is that you desire, we want you to get the recognition that you deserve by creating that great impression. So that would be pro tip number two, is having the professional greeting. Once you are ready to write your message, a couple of basic guidelines come to mind for me to give you. And the first one, when I think about as you have come up with your greeting, hi, such and such, now you're ready to write your email, is to know when to use the to, the CC, and the BCC fields. And depending on your organizational culture, you might use the CC or the BCC more frequently than what is recommended. So you would have to know your manager, you would have to know the culture of your organization to know if you all tend to use the carbon copy a little bit more. So using the to field is when sending a direct message to someone. You may send the same email to multiple addresses using the to field. Do so when your email is meant to be addressed directly to all recipients, as in the case of your manager, or if your manager was directing a team, they may send their email and it, everybody on the team might be in the to field. One thing to note, however, is that when you do put everybody's email in the to field, all email address can be viewed by all recipients. So putting multiple addresses in the to field only when every recipient is okay with his or her email being addressed for everybody. So sometimes you're communicating both internally and with external stakeholders. So be mindful of who you are addressing your emails to. Using the CC field, and CC stands for carbon copy for those who may or may not know. You use the CC field to send a copy of the email address to people who are not meant to be the direct recipients of the message, but still need to be kept in on the loop. For example, if a manager has asked to be CC'd on all communication that's sent out to everyone, then you would want to, whoever you are addressing your email to in the to field, and then make sure that your manager is on the CC field. Again, you have to have that communication with your manager or understand your company's culture for when everybody should be copied on emails. I've been in organizations in which everybody copied everybody on emails, which for me drove me absolutely insane, because some emails is not necessary for everybody to be CC'd on. But again, you have to know your culture, and then you have to also know your manager. So if you are one who's looking to get promoted, then you might want to understand how your manager communicates. And in turn, if you are that manager that want to be CC'd, then you have to make sure that your team also understands that you want to be kept in the loop. Then there's the BCC field, and BCC stands for blind carbon copy. When you place email addresses in the BCC field, recipients are blind to other recipient email addresses. So the use of the BCC field is most appropriate if the recipients have not given permission for their email address to be released, or the whole list of people that the email is going out to, or if there's some reason to keep the email address private. Because the BCC field offers privacy that the to and the CC fields do not, you might want to use blind carbon copy field for both direct and indirect email messages where privacy of email address is needed. If you wish to send an email to many direct recipients, but you don't want to disclose anyone's email address, just use your own email address in the to field and use the BCC field for the recipient's addresses. And the other thing that I'll mention in regards to this, a little bit more technical in nature, is that sometimes when you get an email that have a lot of recipients on it and you're on your phone, just be mindful when you reply back, that most times if you just reply to that person and not reply all, because if you were, you know, sometimes you're on your phone and you just reply all, then whatever communication that was, now they went to everybody on that email thread. So I have gotten several of those too over my career, people sending messages to everybody for whatever reason. And maybe they are, you know, on their phone. Maybe they, you know, have just didn't look, but they're sending it to everybody. And then you start getting this chain of emails from other people that's sending it to reply all. And it could be hundreds of people on that email address. Pro tip number three, because we talked about using a professional email, your greeting, and how to address your message, you also want to make sure that you use spell check. Always make sure you double check what you used and use proper spelling, grammar, and punctuation throughout your email. I know sometimes it happens, you sent it, you've read through it, you thought it was good, and you sent it out and you still had a typo, you know, and every now and again, you know, that happens, we're human. However, you don't want every email that you send out to have a bunch of grammatical errors. You don't have periods in there. You have a bunch of jargon or slang in your email. So you want to make sure that you use your spell check to make sure that the grammar is where it needs to be. And while we're talking about grammar, we might as well talk about acronyms. And while online mediums of communication have developed their own vocabulary, so whether you're on social media, that may be a whole vocabulary and language that happens over there, or your text messages or Teams or the Zoom chat or whatever the case may be. In email, we have to remember, especially business emails, that we really should keep it formal. Here are some good key things to remember in regards to grammar and the use of acronyms as well, because I know sometimes we like to use acronyms such as BTW, which means by the way, or IMHO, in my honest opinion, or even LOL, laugh out loud. You know, when you are communicating in business email, I'm giving you best practice. Now, you can do what you want, but you have to remember, too, that you are creating an impression. And so whatever impression you want to make, it will be evident in your email communication. So always remember to follow the rules of good grammar. So you may refer to English writing style guides for these rules if necessary. Use full sentences and words with proper sentence structure. Proper capitalization and punctuation are a must. And email all caps give that impression that you're shouting. And small caps are hard to read. So you want to make sure that you are mindful of that as well. And again, just, you know, avoid the abbreviations if at all possible, as well as some of the emoticons as well too, when you are communicating in a business-like way. Pro tip number four, keep your email short and concise. Your email should be to the point. Avoid using long and unnecessary sentences or phrases. If you have a really long email, I'm going to be honest with you, people are not going to read it, or they're going to half read it, or they're going to skim it. I used to have a team member that would always send, instead of having a conversation, especially if something was bothering them, instead of having a conversation, they would send it 2 and 3, 4 page emails. And it was like, wow, we could have just had a conversation around this. So don't use email to send a full conversation when you probably should pick up the phone in that case. Keep your email short, concise, and to the point. You also want to be courteous in your emails. Pro tip number 5, using polite language. Avoid confrontational tones in your email. If it could be perceived as a negative, then you probably want to rethink it. So if you know that you have sent an email or need to send an email to somebody and they sent you one back and you were not feeling good about it, make sure you calm down before you send that email so that your email will remain neutral and will remain courteous and polite. And then the last pro tip before I give you some technology kind of tips is making sure you use appropriate signatures. I see this a lot. Again, you have to consult your organization on requirements, but using a signature line so that people know the email came from you. And in that signature line, including your contact information, such as your name, your title, you know, the company name, the address, the telephone number. You could use your pronouns in your signature as well. So understanding what your company requirements are, if you have a template that your company use, make sure you are using that. And if you are using, you know, Google or Outlook or any of the other emails, you can automatically have it appended to every email that you go that goes out. That way, you don't have to remember to put your email signature on at any time. So you want to make sure that you are using an email signature. And those are 5 like pro tips I wanted to make sure that you were in the know of or give you some gentle reminders. And then I'll leave you with these technology tips. The first one is the medium is the message. There are so many things that are done better face to face rather than through the net. So if you got to deliver any kind of bad news, any kind of negative feedback, remember technology is not a substitute for a personal approach. So just think about that before you send out an email. Is email the best medium for that message? The second is always reread your letters. Some statements don't come across well when written. You know, if you use a statement like, first of all, that's probably already going to put the person on defense and not going to come off in a well-written way, in a well-received way. So, you know, think about if you're sending any kind of jokes. Sometimes a joke may be misconstrued as well in an email because people can't see your, you know, twinkle in your eye or anything like that, like you're joking. And so it can sound insulting. So read everything twice before you send it to catch any of those errors or to read it and then see if it sounds appropriate or not before you send it. Think security. So don't assume privacy when communicating via email or online. Don't use emails to discuss confidential and or speculative information because emails can be forwarded. You know, people could get your email address or hack into your email and be able to see confidential information and send it to other people. So think security. Does this need to be an email? Does this need to be a phone call? Does this need to be an in-person message? So think security before you get ready to send out an email correspondence. Also think about your recipient's convenience. Since reading from a screen is more difficult than reading from paper, the structure and layout is very important in email messages. So this is why you want the short paragraphs, you know, the short, concise messages, you know, blank lines in between to kind of space it out. And then if you're making any kind of points or lining anything, use the numbers or the bullet points or the bullet arrows so that it's more convenient. So So that's a reason why you want to keep the document, why you want to keep the email short and concise. And the last like technology tip that I'll leave you with is decide if it's necessary or not. Remember that most people have their emails on their phones and they go directly to their phones. So before sending a message in the late hours, midnight, 11 p.m., ask yourself, how will your recipient react to getting emails that late? You know, maybe it's okay. Again, you have to understand your company culture of understanding what's acceptable and what's not. But, you know, a general rule of thumb is that when you're sending emails, think about, you know, is this, am I sending this email too late? And a pro tip is even if you are working late and sending out emails, you can actually schedule your emails to go out at whatever time you want. So if you are up at 9 p.m., 11 p.m., midnight, 2 a.m., and you want to get your email sent, you can actually schedule it to go out at 8 a.m. or 7:30 or 6 a.m. or whatever is the best time on the next day. Think about before you forward a memo to your team or something you might have received, you know, do they really need that piece of information? It's definitely nice to be kept in the loop and up to date on stuff, but at some point you could be clogging up their email boxes. So just be mindful of that because there's tons of emails that's going to each person every day. And if your staff is working on the bench, they are probably not even checking their email as often. So be mindful of that. And are you sending emails that make sense, that are needed? Or is what you sent could be covered during your huddles or during your check-ins with your team? So those are some things to think about. So I know this wasn't our typical podcast, but sometimes I think refreshers are good. And just based off of things that I have seen, I think it's better to not assume. It's always good to learn and grow. And so this was a topic that I thought was important because of emails that I see a lot and want to make sure that you all are all to a fast start, off to a professional start, off to making that impression that I know that you desire to make. So thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. Please tune in next week to hear another awesome episode. Go back in our catalog and catch up on the over 140 episodes that we have out there on a variety of topics with a variety of guests. Share it out. Catch up with us on Direct Impact Broadcasting, Labvine, or your favorite podcast platform. Let us know what topics you would like to hear, whether they are technical, whether they are leadership, or whether they are practical topics that will help you be a better medical lab professional and navigate your organization or navigate your career. Thank you so much, and I hope you have an amazing, amazing week.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.